Those things will not corrupt. Those things will not be stolen. The stock market in heaven's never going to collapse. So whatever you do in heaven is going to be eternal. And that's one of the things I want to speak to you about just a little bit this morning, that eternal things. We want to make sure that we're investing in eternal things. And what the world promotes and what most of the world is involved in, and sad to say, a large part of the church is investing in themselves. Life is all about them. We call that in this church, I've done a lot of, actually in several churches, but the ministry of eros and agape. The Greek word eros and agape are the words that we use to describe love. And I borrowed this from a guy years ago. The hook, eros, is self-centered love. Now, later in time, it became known as a sexual term, but it started off as a self-centered kind of love. And so what Jesus is trying to do by teaching us this or commanding us this, telling us this, is that he wants us to love with agape. He wants us to love, and we illustrated this with a straight arrow, love with no motive, right? In other words, we love for love's sake. And that's what God did for us. Here is self-centered kind of love. It's when we are self-centered. So eros, and Jesus is trying his best to declare to us not to fall into that trap where life is all about us and it's not about others. It's not about his kingdom. Seek you first the kingdom, right? And all these other things will be added unto you. So here's what's happening. We're in a world now where everybody is being challenged to be closed off and not to reach out and help others, right? I mean, that's a real challenge. And some people are more vulnerable, so I understand there's all kinds of situations that people are falling under in this situation. But here's going to be the trick of the enemy, is to get us into a mold to live the rest of your time here in fear, right? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Even as this clears on out, there are going to be a challenge for people to go back and live a normal life. A lot of people are going to be challenged to live in fear. And so what happens when you live in fear? It's not just the guy who's accumulating yachts and planes and trains and all that stuff, and it's all about himself. It could also be the person who turns inward and never offers themselves anymore to help others and to step out. And that's not what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to be the people who go above and beyond. And so you can lay up for yourselves treasures in here, and those things are going to die with you. You're not going to take them with you. Or you can lay up treasures on the other side. And this is a moment in time where we have to evaluate where we're putting our treasures. These seasons like this one we're in, where the world's in turmoil, can help us evaluate our lives and see where we're actually laying up treasures. See if we're putting treasures in heaven or if we're just kind of invested in our own lives only. So you need to take another look at that. And he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven because those things cannot be destroyed. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, don't you think about that. And a lot of folks, we all need to take an inventory of this. Where is your heart? Is your heart willing to hug somebody who's got leprosy or not? Is your heart willing to go into the trenches where people are suffering and having trouble and feeding and clothing and whatever? Or is your heart to keep your distance? The challenge will be when we come out of this situation for people to go back to living a Christian life where they don't live in fear, where they're not afraid of the things that are going on in the world. That's going to be the next challenge. I'm not telling anybody not to be smart. I've washed my hands more than anybody in America, maybe, except for somebody working in the medical field. But I am saying it would be the devil's desire to get us to close ourselves off and live ourselves apart from people. We're called to people. We are all called to people. And so we should be smart. The only thing that has value in this life is people to God. How do I know that? Because he's going to burn everything up. And I heard a guy in California say years ago, that God was in love with his building. I tell you what, that church building is going to burn to the ground like the rest of them. You need to get off your high horse with that. The only thing that has value to God in this life is people. Everything else he's going to burn up. The Bible says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So everything, all of our family heirlooms that we count, everything, everything's going to be gone. There'll be no remembrance of the former things, the Bible says. So where should we be laying up treasures? We should be laying up treasures in heaven, because that's where thieves don't break in. That's where they're not destroyed. And that's where our heart will be. Whatever you invest in is where your heart's at. So I want to say this. Your number one place to invest is heaven. That should be the number one place we invest. The number two place you invest should be your spouse and your family. You should make investments in them, because they're the ones journeying with you. They're the ones that are helping make the journey and helping pack the mule and everything to get down the road. So invest in them. And then after that, we should invest in people. And you can invest in your own life, your carnal life to some degree, because that's all wisdom in that. But those first two should stand out above everything else. Invest in God first and invest in your family next, and then go from there. But now, when I say investing, when you use the term investing, and I'm a business major, I understand all that. Most people just automatically go toward money. But there's so many other ways you can invest in people's lives. You can invest with love. You can invest with mercy. You can invest with grace. I had a preacher tell me 30-some years ago, he said, you better give people grace, a lot of grace, because you're going to need it yourself someday. In other words, give out. Freely you receive, freely you give it, right? So there's a lot of ways to invest in people. There's a lot of ways to invest in your spouse, your wife, whatever. And it don't necessarily involve money. Money is only a portion of that. Now, you should never withhold God out of your money. Don't steal from God. Don't be stealing from God. That never works out right either. But there's other ways to invest as well. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye, and the King James says single, and that's the best translation. The New King James says if your eye is good, but sometimes, I want to get as close to the Greek and Hebrew as I can. And the word single is a better word here. It says, if therefore your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. So what Jesus is trying to get us to do is go back. He's going to go on over into this chapter telling us to seek the kingdom of God first. But here, he's telling us that our eye needs to be single. And that's important, because we're going to talk about what Paul teaches us in Colossians. He says, if your eye is single, or if your eye is good in this translation, your whole body will be full of light. Here's what I'm learning so much about the soulish man and the inner man, and I'm not ready to burst out on the scenes with that, but I'm going to dabble in it just a little bit this morning. Whatever you take in through your eyes, your ears, or whatever, especially your eyes and your ears, they minister to your inner man, good or bad. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. That's why you got to be careful what you let your eyes see. And here's one we're not good at. We should be careful what we let our ears hear. Now, we sang about that Sunday school. I started to say grammar school. Actually, we may have sung that in when I was in school. I'll tell you how old I am. We sung Christian songs when I was in school, in the public school. Take that. Hey, hey, hey. So we're not as guarded about our ears as we should be. Because what I'm finding out and what I'm learning, and the Holy Spirit's teaching me, and I've got my hands on some material that I never had before, that whatever's coming in there is ministering to your inner man. All right? And in your deepest inner man, he's programmed by you and I. Let me say a word to you. Let me just go ahead and dabble a little bit more. If you're a negative person and you speak that negativity around and in your family, it's going down into their inner man. It's going into their inner man. And that inner man is hearing it. Now, some people are stronger enough. Maybe they stay in the Word like they should. Maybe they are guarded more about it and they can deflect it better. But a lot of times the children are not able to do that. And people finally get beat down, and that stuff just keeps going in. And it starts programming. It starts programming down inside there. Here's something you need to know. That inner part of your soulish man don't make decisions. He only works with the material he's been given. So here's why people become addicts. I'm learning so much. Here's how a person can get off of alcohol and never come to Jesus. I wondered about that. How does this guy who's an alcoholic no longer drink and he didn't get saved? I'm learning the process of that. Because what's happening down there in part of your soulish man is he works, and what he does, whatever he gets fed, he assumes that it's good. He don't discern whether it's right or wrong. So he's working with what the outer soulish man is feeding him. And even though he don't make a determination, he works with what he's got. So if this guy continues to do something wrong over and over, that inner part of that soulless man don't ever discuss that. He don't decide. That's why a man can get wrapped up, caught up, and doing something totally wrong that everybody else can see, but his inner man's been programmed to walk that way. Now, I've got some more to say about that, but here's what's happening with us, that if our eye is single, if it's good, as the New King James says, if it's single, then we're bringing stuff in that's beneficial. Now, is it okay for you to watch the news? It's okay, but you're going to get stuff off that news that you're going to have to wade through. Is it okay for you to watch a movie? It's okay, but you might have to wade through some junk, right? Some dung is what Paul calls it, dung. Is it better to read your Bible than watch a movie? Yes. Is it better to read your Bible than watch the news? Yes. I mean, there's always a better alternative. The Bible is always a better alternative. And I'm not saying all those things are wrong, but I'm just saying you got to be on guard, because what you can leave your prayer closet full of faith and then go watch the news and have it beat right out of you. Amen. Am I talking to anybody? Hope I'm talking to some folks out there. And so you got to be careful. Somebody said, well, why is that a big deal? I'll just blow it off and catch the next news. But your inner man's taking all that in. Your inner man's. Do you know why you heal while you sleep? And this is medically proven. You heal, your body heals itself while you sleep, because your inner man's still at work. You know why your heart beats? Because your inner man's been programmed to keep it beating. None of us have to think about whether our heart's going to beat or not, right? We don't think about whether we're going to take another. Now, I'm not talking about your spirit now. Now, I'm going to get to that too. I'm talking about that soulish man. You remember that? Let me just go ahead and do it. I done stepped into it now. I might as well go ahead and do it. And so this, you are a triune vessel, all right? And you have three components: the Spirit, which is dead until Christ and the Holy Spirit come in, until you're born again, it's dormant or dead. But when you come to life in Christ through salvation, born again is what Jesus called it, your spirit comes to life, okay? So you are designed to be a triune vessel. If your spirit's not alive, then you're operating on these two levels. You're operating in the soul and in the flesh, all right? The guy or the woman whose spirit has been born again, they have a distinct advantage, right? Because inside of them, the Spirit of God has now taken the seat inside of there. So now they operate in all three parts, right? So this soulish person, what I'm finding out, is divided into two areas. And so that soulish man who's getting programmed every day by the other part and the flesh and the spirit, right? You have opportunity to program half of your soulless man who doesn't make those decisions. You can program him with flesh, you can program him with spirit, and you can program him with your consciousness, right? Some people call it a subconsciousness, right? That's why movie theaters, they got in trouble for this, but they used to flash things across the bottom of the screen to prompt you to go buy popcorn and Coke and things, and because your subconscious mind would pick up on it, but your spirit man wouldn't. All right, or excuse me, your soulless man, outer consciousness wouldn't pick up on it, but your subconscious, as they would call it. So what I'm trying to share with you is this inner part of your soulless man is programmed to keep you breathing, to keep your heart pumping, and all that. None of us have to tell our heart to pump, right? What's telling it. And there's a lot of science behind this, and that's what a lot of these new guys are doing. The reason they're into keeping your spine aligned is because your spine is the highway that sends off all the signals from your brain, your soulish man, to keep your liver healthy, to keep your kidneys healthy. That's why this science has come out, because they know how important the soulish realm is. So none of us have to think about that, right? Now here's what I want to challenge. I'm going to leave that alone in just a minute, because I don't want to go too far with this. But you're programming yourself by what you take in, good or bad. And that's what creates addicts. That's what creates all kinds of, what can create somebody, something positive as well, right? Could be good or bad. That's why it's important what Jesus is saying to you. You're programming your life by what you're taking in, all right? So he says to them, he says, let your eye be single, and your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? I heard a rabbi say many years ago in a meeting I was in, he said, if it's not in there, it can't come out. So whatever you put in there is going to come out eventually. Good or bad? It don't have to be bad. I'm not saying that. It doesn't have to be bad. What you put in doesn't have to be bad. It can be good. And then after he tells us all that, he goes into some things about not worrying. And I don't know how many times we're told not to worry. I don't know how many times we're told fear only causes harm, right? He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you could put probably anything in there. He's talking about God and money here, but you could talk about it. You watch people serve other things. You know, they serve anything. No, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now, this is Jesus talking. You know why? It's not a big deal that people die. People die every day. You know what the big deal is? The big deal is they die lost. That's the big deal. That's what we should be focused on as Christians. That's our job. We have people in the medical field. It's their job to try and help sustain people's physical lives. That's not our job. Our job as Christians is to help sustain people and get them saved so that everybody's going to die. I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but unless the Lord returns, and I know there's a good chance he's coming, I believe we're in that terminal generation, but if not, we're all going to die. The tragedy is not death physically. The tragedy is the second death that Jesus talks about in the book of Revelation. That's the tragedy. It's not that people die, but that people die without Christ. I'm not afraid to die. I've been telling people Jesus is alive for 35 years. I've been telling people that death is not a big deal. It's just a step. If you're a Christian, to die is to gain, the Bible says. And so he says, therefore, don't worry, he says, is not life more than, he says, don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or what you're going to put on for clothing. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them and are not more value than they. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Wow. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Everybody out on YouTube, say to whoever's with you, do not worry. If you're going to listen to a podcast tomorrow, say, do not worry. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Don't you think all those things have come up? How many people you think been worried about what they're going to eat and drink in the last 5 weeks? Worried. I'm not going to go into this, but I'm telling you, my life's flourishing right now. And if I told you how good God's being to me, some of you would probably get mad. But I intend to flourish. The Bible says that he don't leave us no matter what's happening. Did God's resources stop when tragedy came? No way. No way. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. God's resources never changed. It doesn't matter if there's a famine somewhere. It doesn't matter if there's a virus somewhere. It doesn't matter if there's a nuclear holocaust somewhere. God's resources never fail. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. He's going to give us some good encouragement about that. And he says, don't worry, he says, about all these things. Your heavenly Father, is he your heavenly Father? Now, there's the kicker. If I'm talking to anybody today that he's not your heavenly Father, you can't have that confidence. You cannot have that same kind of confidence. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know that? God knows that we need all these things. I got a pastor friend who's in a different situation than I am, and he had a $10,000 building payment coming that they didn't have the money for, and somebody in the community that owned a business called him and said, God keeps telling me to give you some money. He went and picked the check up. It was $10,000 happened in the last few days. Your God is in charge. He's in charge. And if he's behind something, it's not my responsibility to make the church go. That was a load off of me. Probably the first year or two of ministry, I thought it was my job. It's not my job. Jesus just called me to obey him. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He's talking about the revelation of who he is. If the revelation of who Jesus is not enough to keep you in the kingdom, then a hot dog ain't going to do it, or another program ain't going to do it, or another new technology is not going to. If Jesus Christ and the revelation of who he is and what he's done for you and I is not enough to get you to serve him, you ain't going. Amen. You're not going to heaven. I don't care how many gigs we put on at the church, and I'm about sick of gigs anyway. We need people who love Jesus because of what he's done and who he is and what he's given to us. That's who we need in the body of Christ. People say, I'm not living my life to myself. I'm not here to cater to myself or other people. I'm here to seek him first and keep my eye single on him. Amen. Now, God is good, amen? He says, your heavenly Father, he says, then he gets into the thing that we all quote, right? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Think about that. He don't just say, and we leave a lot of the second part of that off sometimes. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness. You and I should be getting more righteous the more we follow him. It should change who we are. Somebody said, I don't need to change. Have you looked in the mirror? Have you heard yourself talk? Have you looked at your soulish man and see how doubt and fear drive him sometimes? We all need to change. We all need to keep growing. We all need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We all need to seek that. And then he says, if you do that, all these other things will be added unto you. Hold on to things loosely. Hold on to things loosely. Because God may require it of you. He may take it and give it to somebody else and bring you some. Your security is not in what you possess. Your security is in who possesses you. That's where your security's at. Our security is in who possesses us, not what we possess. Now, you know, I'm a realist. I don't envy our president, our governor, I don't envy them. If I were in that position, I would take it and gird my loins up and seek God. But I'm not in that position, so I'm praying for them. But I don't envy them because I tell you what I see. I know you got to keep people from starving to death and you got to keep the economy moving. But if this stuff continues, just piling money out, we're headed for trouble. This nation's headed for financial ruin. Something's got to give. I understand everybody's in a tough spot, but I don't envy those kind of decisions because in 1929, I've been reading a lot about the Depression for the last 2 years. Kind of ironic, I think. But in any case, that those guys, they so many of them trusted in what they had, and they didn't let somebody have them, which is Jesus. So when people lost their stuff, they jumped out of windows, did all kinds of crazy stuff. You can read those accounts for yourself. I don't want our nation to befall that, but I tell you, we're in a tight spot here. This is, you know, and I've just sharing with some folks earlier that, you know, everybody's not going to want to pack on an airplane with everybody. You know what that's going to happen? That's going to mean they're going to have fewer passengers. The prices are going to go up. Fuel's going to go up. And we might be headed for inflation. This is not a good situation. that we're in. So we need to be praying. We are the ones who are called to seek God. We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying. I'm going to say something to you. You folks that don't like our governor, you need to pray for him anyway. And you folks that don't like our president, you need to pray for him anyway. Shame on both of you if you're not praying for him. Shame on both sides. We need to be lifting these guys up for the Lord, because it could be, that could be your son doing that stuff someday. What if it was your son who was the president? What if he's your son who was the governor? We forget these people are human, don't we? And I want to say this. Our governor can't make perfect decisions. Our president can't make... Nobody can make perfect decisions with a virus. I wish the news media would go out of business. Who can make perfect decisions? Let him without sin cast the first stone. I don't make perfect decisions. Just talk to my wife and you'll find it out. Nobody does. We put these people up where they think that who could have told whether or not a virus was going to shut the whole world down? That's preposterous for people to get mad at our leaders. Governor, President, you are a joke if you're that way. And I'm through off my soapbox. Let's get back to the Word. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Everybody say don't worry about tomorrow out there in YouTube territory. Therefore, tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So I want to say to you, you and I are living in a time where we should be living the same. Because we never had the promise of tomorrow anyway. Jesus made that plain. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Live for today. Do not cut yourself off from the will of God. I don't care if an earthquake's happened, a volcano's erupted, or a virus has come through, or the economy is collapsing. Do not stop being a Christian. Do not cut yourself off from the will of God. And what I say to you is the same thing I say to myself every morning. Get up and ask yourself, are you living in the will of God? Are you living in the will of God? Where you're at today, I want to live every day in the will of God, no matter what's going on around me. Ask yourself that question. Now, let's go to Colossians, because I want to show you a couple of things in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3. What if Peter said, I got to go be crucified. I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. What if Paul said, I got to go minister to those people in that leprosy camp. I don't want to be a preacher anymore. Thank God we had people, the Bible says, examples that have gone on before us. Isaiah got cut in two in a hollow log, Jewish history says. They put him in a log and cut him in two because they didn't like what he was saying. You'll read about that in Hebrews 11. It says some were sawn asunder. Jewish history says they put Isaiah in a hollow log and cut him in two because he was a man of God. Let me tell you what true preachers have to always wrestle against the religious crowd and the culture. It's a battle. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to define a few words for you here. I'm just going to roll this thing around. So don't have to erase that. As long as I don't knock myself in the head with it. In Colossians 3, let's look at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, here it is. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 6? Be single-eyed, right? Be single-eyed. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. I like the word seek. He says, where Christ is, what Jesus tells, seek ye first the kingdom, right? Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And look at the next verse. Set your mind on things above. And that word set, I want to say this to you. I have looked at this word set. I studied this. It took me longer to figure this word out than any word I've ever looked for. I don't know how many books out, trying to figure out what he meant with this word set. All right? He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. for you died with Christ. Let me say this. He's talking to believers. So there's a problem with believers, which goes back to a little bit of that stuff I dabbled in. Their mind is getting ministered to by anything. You're not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to let fear and doubt and lust and greed, we're not supposed to allow those things to minister to us. And so what he's teaching us, Jesus said, let your eye be single, right? Here he says, seek those things above, sitting right hand of Father. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. So the Greek word is phronete. P-H-R-O-N-E-I-T-E. Phronete, that's the word that we translate set. All right? It has a cousin. Fruero. Fruero. It has a cousin. Now, I went to this word's cousin, set, because I wanted to get the full understanding of what the Holy Spirit's trying to say here. So I want you to buckle your seatbelts, and let's go through this. He says, I'm going to read this again. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, he's talking to believers, but he's identifying a problem. The problem is they can live a life where they're not single-eyed. Christians can. They can live lives where their mind's not set on things above, right? They can live lives where they seek other things. And we'll all battle with that. But what we want to do is we want to grow in that to where our eye stays focused on the Lord, our heart, and we set our mind. There's that mind again. Your mind, will, and emotions is seated in that soulish man that I showed you earlier. And there's a part of your soulish man that gets programmed. He don't make distinctions. He just gets programmed. Once he gets programmed, he tries to run you down that path. All right? That's how he works. He's already programmed, thank God, to keep your heart pumping and all that, and your lungs breathing, all that. We don't have to program ourselves for that. God pre-programmed us that way. But then we got to program our lives. We're going to live a life with these feet, with these eyes, with these ears, with these hands. We're going to live a life. And how we program. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I don't like to be around certain people. Because all they do is talk about how bad life is, how bad their life is. I just don't like it. I'm changing the way I'm letting stuff come into me. I want good stuff coming in here. I want good stuff coming in. You know, I talk to myself a lot more since I've been learning this. I speak things over to me. I speak health into my life. I speak prosperity. I speak things into my inner man because I want my inner man programmed the right way. Of course, I preface everything by saying, in the name of the Lord, by the will of Jesus Christ. That's how I speak to myself. I don't speak to myself with my own authority. Does anybody hear me? I speak to myself with the authority of God's Word and the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. There's a difference, right? I'm not one of these people that are what they call the self-help guys. There ain't no self-help for me. I need the help of the Lord. Amen. And that's what I'm after. He will program this self to do the right things with the Holy Spirit and His Word. But I'm learning the power of that inner man and what he's getting or not getting or how he's using what he's getting. So now he says, set your mind. There it is. Set your mind on things. If we take care of our minds, life would be a lot easier. Do you know that? If we take care of our minds, life would be way easier. That's why you need to get in the Word of God. The Bible says our mind is renewed by the Word of God, right? In Romans. So stay in the Word of God. Your mind is renewed by the Word of God. Stay in it. Now let me give me a drink before I give you this definition. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. That's a challenge. It's a challenge for anybody. But there's a way to do it. He says, phronete is the Greek word, phronete, that I put up there for set. It means to mind. In other words, pay attention. It means to a frame of mind. In other words, when you frame something, you focus it, right? You frame it to focus it in, right? And it means to heed. It means to incline to. It means to regard. Set all these things. And the final one that I really like means to be set upon. To be set upon. To be set upon. That's what he said. How's your mind going to be set on God? And I don't want to pick on anybody, but I'm just, if you're going to watch 8 hours of Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching them occasionally, but you need to make sure you're getting the Word of God in you. That's Dr. Phil, the news, or the football game don't renew my mind. God's Word's what renews my mind. Okay? So make sure that God don't just get pushed to the side while you binge watch everything else. It's time for some Christians to binge watch Jesus. Amen. I said it, didn't I? Now, he says, the cousin that I just put on here, phareo, is a cousin to this word set, for night. And this word, its cousin means to keep watch and to keep it settled in you. Now think about that. Paul's saying, I think setting our minds on things that are above is a daily thing. It's not a Sunday and Wednesday thing. Setting your mind on things up there is something you should do every day. And I've shared this a couple of months ago. Every morning, I did it this morning. I got up this morning. First thing I did when I prayed was thank God for my eternal salvation. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Because this world's going the wrong way. And I'm glad that I have eternal life abiding in me. I'm glad that I have heaven waiting on me. I'm glad Jesus went before. I'm glad about it. So I thank God for that. I thank God for my family. I spoke blessings over myself this morning in the name of Jesus. I spoke blessings over my wife and my children this morning in the name of Jesus. I spoke blessings over our granddaughter in the name of Jesus. I spoke blessings over all that. And that's what I believe is going to happen in my life. That's why I believe it's not because virus came that I'm flourishing. It's because when virus came, this old boy started digging a little deeper. Now I'm getting fresh revelation, and that fresh revelation is causing me to flourish even though virus is hanging around. Amen. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if it's a virus, famine, or whatever it is. You can flourish because you can go deeper in God, and the deeper you go in God, the more you can flourish. Abraham, every time he had a revelation of God, he got another name, Jehovah Jireh, and every time he got a deeper revelation, his worship went deeper, and God revealed himself there, and Abraham experienced God in his power, in his love, in his provision. That's what I want you to do, and that's what I intend on doing. That's what I'm doing right now. And then he says, set your mind on things above, not on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden in Christ. So he's talking to people that are already born again. And if I could say, that is the thing that needs to be cleaned up the most in church, is the Christians' minds. And some of you think, well, yeah, I know the worldly stuff. No, I'm talking about something worse than the worldly stuff. I'm talking about fear and doubt. It's time for the church to get it out of them. We ain't called. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That's what should make the church stand out, that we don't live in fear and we got love, we got power, and we got a sound mind. Amen. Well, most of us do anyway. But that's what we should be focusing on. Love, power, and that. The church needs its mind renewed. And maybe in pockets of it, it needs its mind renewed from worldly things, but it also needs its mind renewed more from fear and doubt and unbelief. Some trust in chariots and horses. Now, I've been telling people it ain't no big deal to die for 35 years or more. Why would I be afraid to die? I've been telling people this for 35 years. That's not the end. That's what makes us have an advantage. We know that death's not the end. It's just a gateway in the presence of God. I've been telling people that Jesus is alive. Right? Let's go to Psalm 37 before I close. Psalm 37. Listen to the encouragement we get here. And I speak this out to all of us. We're not the tail. We're the head. We belong with Christ. We're in Him. Psalm 37. I'm going to close here in just a moment. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb." We don't have to worry about anything. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. That's what I'm feeding on. I believe if I need money, I can go catch a fish and get money if I need it. I believe that's the kind of God I serve. I believe I serve a God just like that. That if my axe head falls in the river and I need it, He can make it float. That's the kind of God I believe. Delight yourselves also in the Lord. Now, I love that verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord, do good. This ain't no time not to be doing good. This ain't no time to be robbing God. This ain't no time to be backing off from God. It's time to trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. And feed on His faithfulness. You know why? Because the world's faithfulness is going to run out. But His faithfulness ain't never going to run out. This ain't no time to stop. This ain't no time to weep. It's time to take our harps out of the willow tree, like He told the children of Israel, and play some songs of Zion, because we still stand as an emblem of hope, as an emblem of resurrection, as an emblem of life. We are the children of God. We can't lose. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. I'm finding that out. Look at those two verses. Claim those two verses. Walk in them. They belong to you. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. I'm counting on the Lord. I spoke some things about tomorrow today. I'm counting on the Lord bringing them to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I like that word. I received that right now. That's the word, Hebrew word, shalom. I receive the word shalom, and I speak it to you as you hear me this morning. The wicked plots against the just, gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him. That's the second time I found where the Lord laughs. First time when he laughs is when the people in the world think they can overthrow him. The Bible says he sits in the heavens and laughs. You know what the second time he laughs? He laughs when the wicked come after us and they think they're going to overthrow us. Our dad laughs about it. Amen. I love that word. He's coming, the day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, have bent their bow to cast down the poor needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than many riches of the wicked. Amen to that. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Who you counting on? You counting on the insurance company? You counting on the government? You counting on the stock market? Not me. Those things are well and fine if they work, but I'm not counting on them. I'm counting on the Lord God Almighty. You know why? Because the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the righteous will be held up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's how we become righteous. That's how we get held up. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed of the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. You hear that? But the wicked shall perish, the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. Those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Who's the hand of the Lord? It's Jesus Christ. That's another title for Jesus Christ, the hand of the Lord, or the right hand of God. He says, I have been young, and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed out begging bread. What do we got to worry about? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Why would I be afraid to die? I've been telling people for 35 years. They don't have to be afraid to die if they know Jesus. this Jesus that I've also been telling, that this Jesus is alive. He come out of the grave. He said he would go and prepare a place for me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said he'd be with me to the end of the earth. Why would I have to be afraid? I've got the one who come out of the grave, who's on my side. I don't have to worry about financial ruin. I don't have to worry about famine. I don't have to worry about sickness and disease, because I cannot lose. To live is Christ, to die is gain. You know what I say to all that? I say what the psalmist said. Praise ye the Lord. He started Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord. He ends Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord. He starts Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord. He ends Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord. He starts Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord. He ends Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord. He starts Psalm 149, praise the Lord. He ends Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord. He starts Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. And he ends Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know why I'm praising the Lord in the middle of trouble? Because my God's not in trouble. He came out of that grave. He set me free from my sin. He's given me life. He's coming back again. He paid the price. He made a place for me. I am on my way to heaven, and you can be too. All you need to do is give your life to Jesus. The problem is that we got our eyes on the wrong things. I'll leave you with this as I close. Peter had his eyes on Jesus. He was fine when he stepped out of the boat. But when he got his eyes off on all these other things, I don't care what the other thing. I didn't say the other thing couldn't be real. It can be real. The waves were real. The storm was real. But as long as he wasn't looking at it and he was looking at Jesus, he was fine. I'm not saying your problem's not real. I'm not saying it's not real. But I'm saying if you look to Jesus, he's the one that can make it okay. It'll be all right. As long as we seek the kingdom first, as long as we set our mind on things that are above, as long as we're single-eyed. You know what this helped me do? It's helping me get more single-eyed, this situation. It's helping me get more single-eyed. I want to run this race for Jesus with everything I've got. I refuse to live in fear and worry and doubt and unbelief, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had to share your word today to whoever is hearing it and who would hear it in the weeks to come on our podcast. We know that you're the solution to every problem we have. You really are, God. And we know that death ain't no big deal to a Christian. The tragedy is not death. The tragedy is somebody dying without you. Lord, we're Christians. We're supposed to be telling the world who you are. We're supposed to be flagging them down, telling them the bridge is out that way. They need to go another way and find Christ. Lord, we're the Christians that should be sharing the message. We're the ones that don't live in fear. God, I just pray for everybody under the sound of my voice that you'll strengthen them, make them strong, and give us the tongue of the learned so that we can share the gospel in troubled times. Maybe it's writing a letter. Maybe it's somebody you see at Walmart in a grocery store. Maybe it's sending somebody an email. Maybe it's a phone call. Whatever it is, God, we thank you. We've been seeing miracles. We've been seeing people get healed during this time. We've seen miracles in every way. We're starting to see those miracles come to the forefront. That's what we wanted to see, Lord. We've been asking for signs and wonders. And I'm so thankful the way you've protected this congregation, Lord. Many of us have had to continue to be out and about, and we desire, Lord, I want to do your will. But, Lord, we just praise you for the way you've protected us. We thank you. We give you grace. We give you glory and honor, and we receive the grace in Jesus' name. Thank all of you all for being with us today. And I thank you all for tuning in and blessing us. Some of you are blessing us financially, and all of you that name this church as your home, we thank you for being faithful. And our address is on the screen before and after our service time, so you're welcome to see that. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7:05. Shalom.